God, I want to ask you to turn to 1 Chronicles 29 and put a marker at Luke chapter 9. All right? So we're going to begin in 1 Chronicles 29, and then we'll flip over to Luke chapter 9. Now, I want to share with you something I shared with the staff this last week. And I said to them, please pray, because we have two more weeks in this series, this message this today and the message next week. And let me tell you what the burden of my heart is. I'm not praying that we raise a certain amount of money in the offering. That's not anywhere in my prayers. People have asked me, you know, what are you praying for? Here's what I'm praying for. I'm praying that every person will catch this revelation. That is my desire. I'm a pastor first. God always takes care of provision. I'm not worried about provision. You understand? My Father, my Heavenly Father, owns it all. That is nowhere in my thoughts. My thoughts are that you, as a believer, many of you are in bondage. You have strongholds in your life. Your marriage is in trouble. Your health is in trouble. All sorts of things. And I know this sounds so simplistic, but I'm telling you, in my own life, when God changed me into a giver, every other area began to change. Why? Because He takes selfishness out. Selfishness is on the throne. Self is on the throne if you're not a giver. Here's what you're saying to God. You can have every part of me except. And when you give everything to God, including your finances, I'm telling you, it will change everything in your life. I promise you. So I said to the staff this last week, I'm so burdened. Because I'm just going to preach two more messages. And then after this, I don't know when God's going to lead me to preach on this again, but we may have 1,000 people or 2,000 people that are headed for disaster, headed for shipwreck, that somehow they continue to harden their heart to this message because the enemy's built up strongholds. I'm telling you, you have an enemy. His name is Satan. He hates you. He does not want you to give everything to God. He does not want you to yield your finances. He doesn't want you to believe this. He will build up reasons, and He'll take even Scripture. If you don't think He'll take Scripture and twist it, read how He tempted Jesus. He will take Scripture and twist it. I've had people even write pamphlets against tithing. How could you be so deceived? How in the world could you ever do something like that? I want to teach people not to give to God. How could you do that? Who do you think is behind that? And I just want you to somehow catch my burden. I mean, I've had difficulty sleeping. I didn't go to sleep last night till 3 o'clock because I was up till 3. I don't know when I went to sleep because I'm praying and saying, God, if they don't catch it in another year or so, we're going to be dealing with a divorce. We're going to be at the hospital. Their kids could go into rebellion. Get on drugs. And now all these areas of their life, if they don't understand what it's like giving everything to God, that's how important I feel about this. And I'm telling you, Satan keeps people in bondage in this area. And here's what we do. God, you can have everything except. I think Debbie and I have one of the healthiest marriages. We are so in love with each other. And I'm telling you, one of the reasons is because I became a giver. Because I learned how to open up. I was healed of rejection, insecurity, fear of rejection, fear of intimacy, fear of failure, pride, arrogance. I was healed of all these things when I became a giver. I'm telling you, I don't know how else to tell you. This is an infomercial. You understand? Call now. Give now. Let God do a work in this area of your life. And this series is entitled Live to Give. Today, I'm going to share with you a message that I call Over and Above. We're going to go to a new level of giving, and that's called Over and Above, all right? 1 Chronicles chapter 29. When we read Scripture, please look at it carefully and allow the Holy Spirit to cause things to jump at you, all right? 1 Chronicles 29, verse 1. Furthermore, King David said to all the assembly, my son Solomon, whom alone God has chosen, is young and inexperienced, and the work is great, because the temple is not for man, but for the Lord God. Now for the house of my God, this is David speaking, I have prepared with all my might gold for things to be made of gold, silver for things of silver, bronze for things of bronze, iron for things of iron, wood for things of wood, onyx stones, stones to be set, glistening stones of various colors, all kinds of precious stones, and marble slabs in abundance. Moreover, because I have set my affection on the house of my God, I have given to the house of my God over and above. There's the phrase. Over and above all that I prepared for the holy house, my own special treasure of gold and silver. Now, let me just say, tell you something David's saying here. He said, I'm giving to the house of God over and above everything I've already listed. In other words, I'm dipping into the savings. I'm pulling out of retirement. I'm pulling out some investment things. I'm giving over and above. Why? Because I've set my affection on the house of my God. And I've read everything I can get my hands on. They all agree. I didn't believe the amount when I saw it either the first time, so I studied it out. I can't find anything that disagrees with this. If you take what David gave in today's currency, it's $21 billion. With a B. $21 billion. Why? Because he set his affection on the house of God. This was something he could have left to his son, his descendants. This was his net worth. And he's saying, man, I'm telling you, I am so compelled to build God a house, even though I'm not even going to be the one that's going to enjoy it. My son's going to build it, which we've talked about. We're going to build a school and a Bible college, and it's for our children and it's for our grandchildren. He said, I'm so focused on this that not only have I gathered all of these resources together, but I'm giving over and above for my own special treasure. And then he lists what he's giving. 3,000 talents of gold. This is how we know the amount of the gold of Ophir. And 7,000 talents of refined silver. Verse 4, to overlay the walls of the houses. Verse 5, gold for things of gold and silver for things of silver and for all kinds of work to be done by the hands of craftsmen. And then he says this to the congregation. Who then is willing... Watch the word willing in this passage several times. Who then is willing to consecrate himself this day to the Lord? Now, that's what I'm asking you, by the way. And this is the way he's asking them to consecrate themselves to the Lord, to give to the house of God. Who then is willing to consecrate himself, or here's another way of saying that, give him himself wholly to the Lord. And the way we're going to do that is by giving an offering. Verse 6. Then the leaders of the fathers' houses, leaders of the tribes of Israel, the captains of thousands and of hundreds, with the officers over the king's work, offered willingly. They gave for the work of the house of God 5,000 talents and 10,000 derricks of gold, 10,000 talents of silver, 18,000 talents of bronze, and 100,000 talents of iron. And whoever had precious stones gave them to the treasury of the house of the Lord, into the hand of Jehiel the Gershonite. Then the people rejoiced, for they had offered willingly. This is a big deal to me. Because with a loyal heart, notice the heart comes in again, they had offered willingly to the Lord, and King David also rejoiced greatly. And then he prays a prayer. Let me show you one verse in the prayer, verse 14. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to offer so willingly as this? For all things come from you, and of your own we've given you. In other words, we just gave back to you what you gave to us. Then look at verses 17 and 18. I know also, my God, that you test the heart. We've talked about that in this series. And have pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of my heart, I have willingly offered all these things. And now with joy, I've seen your people who are present here to offer willingly to you. O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, our fathers, keep this forever in the intent of the thoughts of the heart of your people and fix their heart toward you. It still goes back to the heart. And here's what he says, Lord, keep it forever in the heart of your people to give willingly to the house of God. Willingly, that's the word. Now I want to tell you something about that. That's what I want you to do next week. I want you to give willingly. I want you to give cheerfully. I don't want you to give under compulsion. I don't want you to give under pressure. I don't want you to feel any pressure. I'm not going to know what you give, all right? Don't feel like Pastor Robert's going to look and I want him to know that I like the church and I want to, and the elders are going to see. We're not going to know what you give. It's between you and the Lord. I don't want you to feel any pressure. Two things about this offering I want you to hear me say. Number one, I don't want you to feel any pressure about it, all right? Second thing I want you to know is I really need you to give. Okay? I don't want you to feel any pressure, but you really need to give. And let me tell you two reasons you need to give. One is because the work of God needs to go forward. Two is because you need a change in your heart. You need a work in your own life. I need a work in my life. God spoke to me what I'm to give this week. I've been praying, asking the Lord for about 3 weeks. I've had an amount in my mind that I have kind of figured out we could do this much. And I remember even thinking, you know, I probably made some purchases in the spring that I might have, if I'd have thought about this miracle offering coming up, some of you may even be in this position, you think, gosh, if I'd have had more time to plan, you know, that's the way I was thinking this way. I was thinking, you know, I made some purchases in the spring that if I'd have thought about a miracle offering coming up, I might have held off on those, and then I'd be able to give more. I'd be able to give this much, but I'll probably just be able to give this much. Well, here's what the Lord spoke to me Tuesday morning in my quiet time, and he told me to give twice what I was thinking, the amount. And then I said, Lord, you know, I probably could do that, you know, but that's going to really put me short because I made these purchases. You know what he said to me? He said, listen, I'm not going to be short because you made those purchases. You're the one that's going to be short. Not me, because I still want you to give this. And so then I went in to pay my bills. By the way, always have your quiet time before you pay your bills, all right? So I had my quiet time, the Lord spoke to them out, went in to pay my bills, and I got some unexpected bills. That ever happened to you? You ever done that? I don't know why, but I just wasn't thinking about it. I had that surgery, and we have insurance, but, you know, the insurance pays 80%. And I don't know why, I just wasn't thinking about that 20%. And I wasn't thinking that it was going to be 20% of a gazillion dollars that they wanted for the surgery, you know? And so I got the bills that said this is what it's going to be, you know? And now you got to remember the Lord had just spoken to me what he wanted me to give. And then I get this. So now I get a little frustrated with God. And so I said to him, do you realize where this is going to leave me financially? Do you realize that, what you're asking me to do? And he said to me, I said, do you realize where this is going to leave me? This is what he said. Yeah, dependent on me. It's going to leave you right where I want you. You're going to have to trust me. So I understand this may not be the best time to give. It never is. But please pray and ask the Lord what he wants you to give this next week. And that's what we want to do. We want to give willingly this next week, all right? Now, turn to Luke chapter 9. Last week we saw a passage of Scripture in Luke 6, then we went to the Old Testament. Now we read a passage in the Old Testament, we're going to read one in the New. Luke chapter 9. This is a passage that a lot of people don't relate to giving, but I think it has the principle of giving in it that we need to see. Luke 9 verse 12. When the day began to wear away, the 12 came and said to him, send the multitude away that they may go into the surrounding towns and country and lodge and get provisions, for we are in a deserted place here. But he said to them, you give them something to eat. And they said, we have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish unless we go and buy food for all these people. For there were about 5,000 men, which would relate to 5,000 families, which could be 15 to 20,000 people easily. For there were about 5,000 men. He said to his disciples, make them sit down in groups of 50. And they did so and made them all sit down. And then he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke them and gave them to the disciples to set before the multitude. So they all ate and were filled. And watch this. I think this is amazing. And 12 baskets of the leftover fragments were taken up by them. How many baskets were taken up by the disciples? 12. How many disciples were there? They all got a doggy bag. Every one of them. Okay, and this is a story that somehow you have to put yourself in the story or you don't catch it fully, you know? So I want you to pretend that you're one of the disciples, you were there that day, and you are on the Messiah pulpit search committee, and you're looking for the Messiah, and you're interviewing messiahs, and the guy comes along, and man, you think, this is it, this is the guy. And so you have high attendance Sunday, and pack a pew, invite a friend, and 20,000 show up, and it's great. This is larger than the Sermon on the Mount. I mean, this is awesome. And the Sermon on the Mount, by the way, the tape is just going all over. You know, everyone's buying the tape. This guy's really, really good. You think you got the right guy, and he's preaching, and it's good, but 12 noon comes, and he doesn't stop. Everyone knows you into 12 noon because, you know, football and all. So he doesn't stop. He just keeps going. 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock. Look at verse 12. Look back at verse 12. It says, when the day began to wear away. You understand what that means? It's almost nighttime. I mean, the guy's been preaching all day. And so I'm sure the disciples got together and said, what are we going to do? I mean, you know what the crowd's going to be like next week. I mean, no one's going to come back. The guy's, I mean, he's good, but he's not that good. Come on. I mean, this is just all day. And I'll tell you what, I'm about to starve. Now, I'm about to starve to death. I just can't believe the guy just keeps on and on. We got to get him dismissed the service. Somehow we got to get him dismissed the service. And so they put their heads together, and finally they come up with the idea. They say, hey, I got it. Let's tell him that the people are hungry. You know, he's concerned about people and all. Let's tell him the people are hungry, and maybe he'll dismiss the service. And, you know, we're outside of Jerusalem, no Pizza Huts, no McDonald's. We got to shut the service down so we can get back in town in time. So let's tell him the people are hungry, and we need to go ahead and close the service down. Great. So you get elected. So Jesus is up there preaching. You go up to Jesus. You say, excuse me, Lord. Excuse me. Excuse me just a minute. Lord, come here. Boy, this has been good today. This has been good. I'm telling you, you're a great preacher. Boy, we're really enjoying this. But we were thinking that it's getting kind of late. There's no restaurants in this little town. And so we need to go ahead and close the service so people can go back, because we feel like the people are hungry. Now, us, we could go all day. I tell you, this has been so good. But we feel like it's the people, you know. And so we need to close the service. We need to dismiss the service, because the people are hungry. And the Lord says, you're concerned about the people. Yes, it's the people we're concerned about, yes. You feel like they're hungry. Yes, Lord, feel like they're hungry. Now, look at verse 13. Maybe you'll see something you've never seen. But he said to them, you give them something to eat. Excuse me? Well, you said people are hungry, so give them something to eat. You're not going to dismiss service. No, just give the people something to eat. Okay. Now you've got to go back to the committee. So you go back over and they say, well, is he going to dismiss service? Well, did you tell them people are hungry? Yes, I told them that. Yes, I did. Well, what'd he say? Say for us, we're getting something to eat. What? He said he wants us to give him something to eat. That's what? How can we look at this 20,000 people? How can we do that? And then there's some kid that snuck into town and went to Long John Silver's. He's walking by, so they give me that. Come on, get away from me. Grab the sack, open up. Of course, you can see Peter just immediately grabs one of the rolls, starts to stuff it. So you open it up. He got the two-piece fish meal with extra rolls. Two pieces of fish, 5 rolls in the bag. That's all you got. Yeah, well, what are you going to do? Well, you know, I'm going to eat that. That's why we have a situation. Focus. So what are we going to do? So you say, okay, I tell you what, I got it. Let's tell him this is all we have. Then he'll dismiss the service. The object is to get him to dismiss the service. You understand? So let's just tell him that that's all we have. Great idea. So you go back up to Jesus. Excuse me, Lord. Excuse me just a minute. Lord, you know, you told us a while ago, the people were, you know, and you told us to, you know, and feed and give them, you know, to give them something. And so we've been working on that. And we have two fish and 5 rolls, and that's all we have. And so we thought you should go ahead and dismiss the service. And the Lord says, yeah, two fish and five rolls, that's all you have? Yeah, that's all we have. Okay, have them sit down in groups of 50. That'd be enough, have them sit down in groups of 50. You got to tell the committee. Well, is he going to dismiss the service? No, he's not going to dismiss the service. Well, what did you tell him that we had five? Yes, I told him two fish. Yeah, I told him. Well, what did he say?
I'm going to have them sit down in 50.
What? He said to have them sit down in groups of 50. What? Oh, this is horrible. We're going to be the laughingstock of town. Just wait till the First Church of the Pharisees hears about this. They already think we're wild. What are they going to think now? This is crazy. This is, oh, man, what are we going to do? And so now I want you to think about this, okay? They're telling these people to sit down in groups of 50. Think about this. I don't know how many of you have ever worked with people. But let me tell you something about working with people, all right? People don't do what you want them to do without asking questions, you know? So here they are saying, please, could you just sit down in groups of 50? Please just number off and please just sit down in groups of 50. And you got some great big old guys says, you going to give us something to eat? I stay me one of them rolls. Please just sit down in groups of 50. So they sat in groups of 50. Now, let me tell you my personal opinion. I personally believe that they figured out what God was going to do. At least what they thought he was going to do. Because I want you to think about this. Most of the time when we're in a tough situation, don't we try to figure out how God's going to provide? So I'm wondering if one of them said, hey, you remember that story in the Bible? You remember about Elisha where he had 12 loaves and he fed 100 men? You remember that? I mean, we've got someone greater than Elisha here. I bet he's going to multiply it. I bet he's going to do a miracle and we're going to see that bread. I bet he'll pray over it and when he prays over it, it's going to multiply. I bet they figured, I really think they figured out. The only problem is that's not what happened. You may think that's what happened. That's not what happened. Okay? Let me show you what happened. Look back at verse 16. It says, then he took the five loaves and the two fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke them and gave them to the disciples to set before the multitude. Doesn't say he multiplied it. It just says he blessed it. As a matter of fact, he broke it. In other words, what they got back was even smaller than what they gave. Now, I want you to think about this, especially Peter. I like to pick on Peter. I can just see Peter saying, pray over my roll first, Lord. Pray over mine. Pray. Here, Lord, pray. Pray over my roll. Watch this. Watch this. You want to see something? Watch this right here. And so the Lord takes it, breaks it, says, Father, would you bless this, and gives half of it back to Peter. Are you through praying? Yeah, I'm through. Give that out. You want to pray some more? No, I'm through. It's blessed. Just go give it out. Now think about this, all right? Now, let me come down here. Let me just think about this. Peter takes this little piece of bread. He goes up to the first person, and this is what he said. Take just a little piece. What would you say? So take a little piece. Just take a little piece. Little piece. Take a little piece. Good. Just a little piece. Just a little piece. Just a little. Take a little piece. I said little piece. What's wrong with you? And he gets down at the end of the row, and there's this little piece left in his hand, and he looks down at it, and this little piece grows. See, here's what we miss. Listen to me carefully. The miracle did not happen in the master's hands. It happened in the disciples' hands. The master blessed it. It had the potential to multiply. But what if they had eaten it themselves? What if they had eaten what was blessed instead of given it over and above? What would have happened? Okay, so here's the two principles that I want you to get out of this. Number one, they gave it to Jesus first to be blessed. They didn't just take the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and go give them out. But why? Because they weren't blessed. You have to give it to Jesus first to be blessed. We've already talked about this. The first portion is the redemptive portion. And when you give that to the Lord, He blesses the rest. And the rest had the potential to multiply, but that doesn't multiply either until you give that away. So you have to give the first part to God. I've had many, many people tell me, I've never seen my finances multiply like you talk about. And I say, are you giving the first to God? And many people don't give the first to God. Here's what they say. Well, I divide my tithe. I give some to the church and some to a charity. Listen to me. No charity in the world has the power to bless your finances. Only the Lord does. And that's what Hebrews says. We read this verse earlier in this series. Hebrews says, here, mortal men receive our tithes, but there, He receives our tithes, of whom it is witness, He lives. Jesus is the only one who has the power to bless your finances. He's the only one who has the ability to put a blessing on something so that it will multiply. You have to give to God first. You have to. They had to give it first to God. When Debbie and I, we got married, I got saved 9 months after we got married. Now listen to me. I wasn't rich. I wasn't talented. There was nothing about me that was worth anything at all. Nothing. When I got saved 9 months after we got married, when I got saved, our combined income was $600 a month. $600 a month. That will tell some of you how poor we were. It will tell others of you how old we are. $600 a month, $7,200 a year. That was our combined income when I got saved. By the way, we were living with a widow in one room of her house, in a bedroom. And we didn't pay any rent. We helped clean the house and mow the yard for our rent. That's how poor we were when I got saved. We had bologna sandwiches by candlelight for our first anniversary. So I get saved, and God speaks to me to begin tithing. I remember when I saw it in the Bible, I got excited. See, I was just too dumb to argue. Thank God. I can't believe people argue today. I can't believe it. And so I just saw it in the Bible, and I remember calling my dad, who'd been a believer for years, and said to him, do you give 10%? You know, you all of a sudden, when you start, you want everybody else to start, you know? I said, do you give 10%? He said, no, actually, I don't. I said, yeah, the Bible says you ought to do this and that. And I went down and I gave him all the scripture on it. And he said, listen, okay, if it means that much to you, I'll start giving 10%. I've been giving 25, but if you want me to give 10, I'll give 10. I began to learn some things about my father. I've been walking in this for years. But we started tithing. So 10% of $660. I remember giving that first $60. We didn't even have a home. Live with a widow. Gave $60. The next week, my boss called me in and gave me a $200 a month raise. Now, listen to me. If you take the $200 a month and take the tithe off of that, that's 20, right? So it leaves you 180. I gave 60 and got 180 more. 3 times what I gave. The first week. And then we were able to get an apartment. And then we were able to buy a home. Debbie got pregnant. She quit work. And at the end of 2 years, we had a home. We already had a child. She wasn't working. And I remember the end of that second year after being saved and tithing to God that whole 2 years, I remember looking down at my tax return for that year. Only one working. Debbie wasn't working then. I looked down at my tax return. Now remember, I got saved. I was making $7,200 a year. And I looked down. My tax return said $72,000. And the Lord said to me, you remember seeing that number? I said, yeah, but with one less zero on it. He said, look what I've done. Look what I've done. I'm telling you, you have to give first to God for it to be blessed. Here's the second principle you need to catch. They gave what was blessed away. Then they give over and above their tithe. They gave what was blessed away. They gave it to the Lord to be first, then they gave it away. This is the over and above principle of giving over and above the tithe. Now, I'm going to tell you something that is probably going to shock you. But I believe God showed me something about tithing, and this is shocking, because I'm trying to get you at least to start tithing, but I'm telling you, it's going to shock you what I'm about to tell you. I'm reading in Scripture one day, and I see a principle, and I can't believe my eyes when I saw it. Just can't believe what I saw. I personally don't believe that tithing is giving. I believe tithing is returning. And I don't believe we start giving until we give over and above. For instance, if Pastor Thomas said to me, "Hey, listen, I heard you and Debbie are going to be out of town, and we got to put a car in the shop, and so you're going to have an extra car in the garage. Would you mind if I borrow your vehicle while you're out of town?" No, Pastor Thomas, that's fine. And so I give him the keys to my Suburban. I go out of town for a week, come back. His car is now out of the shop, and then he comes to me. He's real serious, and he says, "Pastor Robert, Mary Beth and I prayed this week, and we want to give you this Suburban. No strings attached. We're just going to give it to you." It's real simple. Is he giving me my Suburban? No. He's returning it. Right? And that's what we do so many times. "Lord, I want to give you your tithe." Thank you. It's returning. You understand? Now, and here's what God showed me. I'm reading one day in the Bible, if you want to read it later, it's Matthew 25. I was reading the parable of the talents. And it said he gave 5 talents to one, 2 talents to another, and 1 talent to one. Do you remember this? And I'm reading this along. Now think about this in the area of tithing, giving to God what already belongs to Him, and giving over and above. Think about this. I'm just reading it one day in my quiet time. There it is. It jumps off the page, and I can't believe it. Here's what it says. He gave 5 talents to one, and that one went and made 5 more. He gave 2 talents to one, that one went and made 2 more. He gave 1 to 1, he went and buried it in the ground. And then the one who made 5 more talents came, and here's what he said to the Lord. Listen carefully. "Here is what is already yours. And here's 5 more. You catching it? And God said, "Well done, good and faithful servant." You understand that we call maintaining faithfulness, and God doesn't call maintaining faithfulness. He calls increasing faithfulness. "Well done, good and faithful servant." The one with 2 talents comes and says, "Here's what's already yours, and here's 2 more. The one with 1 talent said to God, listen to this, he said, "Here is what is already yours." God said, "You are a wicked and lazy servant because you only gave back to me what was already mine. You should have at least put it in the bank and got some interest on it so you could have given over and above, so you could have given more." I'm telling you, I believe that God wants us to go beyond tithing. Tithing is kindergarten. Do you understand? That's basic. We need to go beyond that and give over and above. And the way God started this in my life was very shocking. In other words, God spoke to me to do it, and I didn't even know the principle. I didn't know the scripture. No one ever taught me about this. I was traveling in evangelism. Debbie and I, that was our only income. We would travel to a church and preach. They'd give us an offering. Now, God was blessing us because we were tithing. And we were giving some over and above, but we never given extravagantly. And so all of a sudden, for 1 month, I've got 1 meeting for the whole month. And it was actually a Sunday night meeting service, a Sunday night service in a small church, a little wooden frame, maybe 60 to 80 people there, small church. It's the only meeting I have all month. I go and I speak for the pastor. The pastor comes up to me afterwards and says, he's so excited. He said, "I just can't believe this." So you're not going to believe what the love offering was. And he pulls the check out because he wants to show me. He's so excited. And he shows it to me, and it's enough for us to live on for the whole month. And we're there 1 night. And I said, "Wow, it's wonderful." And he said, "I'm so excited." And he gives me the check. Then he starts telling me something. While he's telling me, I glance over his shoulder, and there's a missionary standing there that had shared with the church before I spoke what God was doing. And I see this missionary, and I hear this voice said, "Give him the check." And I said, "I rebuke you, Satan. I'm not listening to that. That's the devil. That's not God. God wouldn't say something like that. This is the only thing I got. It doesn't make any sense. That wouldn't be God. That's not God." And the pastor, keeps talking to me, and I keep seeing this missionary just right off of his ear. I just keep seeing him. I keep hearing this voice, "Give it to him. Give it to him. Give it to him. Give it to him." And I'm arguing with God. I said, God, you're not thinking straight right now. Maybe you got all pumped up because I preached a really good message tonight. You got all excited or something, God. But this just is, you're just not thinking straight, God. This is just not right. And the Lord's saying, "Give it to him, give it to him, give it to him, give it to him." So I said, "Okay. This is gonna wipe us out. I don't know what you're gonna do, but okay, I'll do it." And so after the pastor finished, I turned the check over, endorsed it, went over the missionary, folded it so he wouldn't see the amount, put it in his pocket, said, "The Lord told me to give it to you. Don't tell anybody." Walked away, went out to eat with about 20 people from the church. The men were sitting on one end of the table, the ladies on the other end, and we were sitting there, and there was a man sitting across the table from me that I'd met one time before. One time. And he actually didn't go to the church, but he heard I was preaching there and drove up there because God sent him. He's sitting across the table from me, and all of a sudden it was like they were engaged in conversation, and it was just he and I in kind of a little vacuum, you know. And he leaned across the table to me like this. And so, I don't know why, I just leaned across the table to me like that. And he said, "How much was the love offering?" So I met the guy one time. He's asking what my income was, you know, that month. In essence, personal. But for some reason, I told him the amount. And then he said to me, "Where's the check?" Just like that. And I know I shouldn't have done this, but I didn't want anyone to know what I'd done. So I said, "Debbie has it." He said, "Go get it. I want to see it." I said, "Okay." So I got up and I walked down the other end of the table, you know, and I just bent down and I said, "Debbie, your pizza okay? Good? Okay." I mean, what else could I say? You know, there's no check, you know. So come back, I leaned across, I said to him, "It's in the car." And he said to me, "It's not in the car. You gave it away." And I said, "How do you know that?" He said, "Because God told me." And he reached in his pocket and he pulled out a check. Now, let me explain something to you. This was a love offering. It had dollars and cents. It wasn't a rounded amount. Okay? It had cents on it. He pulled out a check and he opened it up where I could see it. And it was exactly 10 times the amount. And he'd written it before he came. This is the first person I'd ever met with the motivational gift of giving. Some of you have this gift, by the way. And you have a strong desire to give, but you've never been able to give. Let me tell you why. You need to get your priorities straight. You need to get with givers and learn about giving so you can give in this gift. That's your gift. It's your gift. You want to do it, but you're going to have to learn how to do it. Satan doesn't want you to do it either, by the way. He don't want you to learn about the gift of giving. So he pulls his check out, and he does like this for me to take it. I reach out to grab it, and for some reason he wouldn't let go of it. But I know now he wanted an impartation to me. And so I grab the bottom of it. He's got the top of it. I look at him right in the eyes. He looks at me and he said, "God's about to teach you about giving so you can teach the body of Christ." Amen. And he let go of the check. Amen. And something happened to me that day. And we began to hear about needs and we began to give. We went to a church after that. They needed a sound system. We gave. One of the pastors said to me, "There's a man in our church that lost his job today." Pointed him out to me. "That man over there." I have no idea why I said this other than the Lord. I said to him, "Do you know how much he makes?" He said, "Yeah, he makes $3,000 a month." I don't know why. I know why now I said that. What an odd question to ask. I said, "Do you know how much he makes?" He said, "He makes $3,000 a month." And as soon as I said that, the Lord said to me, "You need to pay a salary for this next month." He's going to get a job in 30 days. I want you to pay a salary for 30 days. And I remember saying to the Lord, okay, Lord, I will give him $3,000. He said, no, at his new job, he's going to make $4,000. Said, I want you to tell him he's going to make $4,000. I want you to tell him he's going to get a job in 30 days. And 30 days later, he got a job. And we gave. We began to give. We had a car. We gave it away. Someone gave us a car. It was a 1973 Ford station wagon with 130,000 miles on it. We loved it, though. We loved it because we knew we were in God's will. We prayed over it. We anointed it with oil about a quart a week. And we were so happy driving our car. And then God spoke to us to give it away. And then someone gave us a car, and we gave it away. And in 18 months, we gave 9 cars. That's pretty fun. That's pretty fun. One of the cars, the Lord spoke to me and said, I want you to sell this. And you know, even when you get in giving, Satan tries to get you on both sides. He tries to get you to be selfish, then he'll try to get you to be prideful. And I remember I said to the Lord, Lord, I don't sell cars. I give them away. And the Lord said, no, you obey. That's what you do. You obey. You do what I tell you to do. So I said, okay, Lord, I'll sell the car. He said, and I said, I don't know who to sell it to. He said, I'll take care of it. That was on a Saturday. Sunday, I'm in church. A guy walks up to me, sticks his hand out and says, hey, you want to sell your van? I said, yeah. He said, how about $12,000? I said, okay. And the Lord had spoke to me, $12,000. So I put the money in the bank on Monday. He comes over, gives me $12,000 cash. I stick it in the bank on Monday. Tuesday, Debbie and I leave to go to Costa Rica to minister. We go down to Costa Rica. The missionary picks us up in this old rickety van, smoke coming out everywhere. We're driving down the street, you know, like this. And I said to the guy, why don't you get you a new van? And the guy said, I'm about to. He said, last week I was driving my car lot and the Lord spoke to me to stop. And I went over and there was a van there. It's $12,000 and God said he's going to give it to me. How much was it? $12,000. I said, go get the van. Now listen, if you never bought a missionary van, it's fun. I know this isn't a word, but I'm going to use it anyway. This is the funnest life you can live. Wouldn't you like to do something like that? And we just kept giving and kept giving, and God just kept blessing us, and it was wonderful. And all of a sudden, then I'm sitting in my quiet time one day, and the Lord just all of a sudden, just all of a sudden, he says to me, would you give me everything? I said, I'd love to. I'd love to. It'd be the greatest joy of my life, God, to give you everything. So I got my pen out, and he said, you give this vehicle to this person, you give this vehicle to this person. Give all the money that you have to the church, every penny, in every account, and give your house to this person. The last one kind of surprised me. I said, when you said everything, you meant everything, didn't you? You know, as I look back on that, that was our first home. Now I preach a principle, if you give the first to God, the rest are blessed. I think about how God has blessed us. I said, yes, Lord, we'll do that. So I talked to Debbie about it. We agreed. We began giving what God was telling us to give. A few days later, I'm sitting in that same recliner, having my quiet time with the Lord. And you got to understand that I talk to God like a person, like a friend, okay? And sometimes we joke around, all right? God has a sense of humor. And so I'm kind of smiling, and the Lord said, what are you smiling about? I said, I think I got you this time. He said, what do you mean you think you got me? I said, well, you know that thing about you can't outgive God? Think I did it. And I'm just sitting here adding up, you know, 2 cars, a house, and all that money we had in the bank. I don't think you can top this. I mean, it's a joy, you know. I didn't give it to get. I just want you to know, I just think I got you. He said, really? And the phone rang. I picked up the phone. This man on the other end of the phone said, Robert, I said, yeah. He said, God told me to help you with your transportation. I said, really? Now, let me tell you what went through my mind. I thought, he's going to buy us a car. And I thought, here's what I thought. I thought, I still got you. I mean, two cars, house. I still got you. Even if he buys us a car, I still got you. I said, well, what'd the Lord tell you to do? He said, he told me to buy you an airplane. I said, what? He said, yeah, I bought an airplane. By the way, I found out later that the airplane was 10 times the amount that we gave away. Yeah, he said, I bought you an airplane today. And he said, he told me, listen, what else I'm going to do? I put it in a hangar, and I'm going to pay for the hangar, and I'm going to pay for the insurance, and I'm going to pay for the fuel, and I've hired a pilot, and here's his name and number, and you just call him and tell him where you want to go and when you want to go, and I'm going to take care of all the expenses. And the Lord spoke to me and said, gotcha. Gotcha. I'm trying to convince you. I am. I'm doing everything I can to convince you there's a better life. You don't have to live paycheck to paycheck. You can give. There's other principles. There's principles of stewardship, living below your means, budgeting. There's other principles. But it starts by saying, God, I'm willing to give you everything. I'm willing to give to you whatever you ask. I'm willing to give it to you. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. Lord, I pray that you would speak to each person here what we're to give. And I pray more than that, more than this miracle offering next week, I pray for every person that's struggling with tithing. God, I pray you would help us. I pray, Lord, as David prayed, that you would keep this giving to your house forever in the thoughts and intents of the heart of your people. I pray that for Gateway Church. In Jesus' name.